is how we do it.
Welcome to Wednesday Comics. To my left, APATN himself, Alex, how you doing?
Hello, everybody. I'm doing well.
To my right, GW himself, Garrett, how you doing?
Doing good.
Wednesday Comics Podcast. My name is Marvin. We're here to talk to you about some comic-related items and another segment of our book club for Local Man by Tim Seeley and Tony Fleece. Jesus. This thing, you know what, Alex, it's been a long time before I held something in my hand, physical like this. Whoa. And, comic wise. And, I forgot how heavy this shit is, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I'm old man now. I can't pick it up now. What if I break my wrist?
Well, that's why you got two wrists.
Like Mr. Glass over there, Unbreakable, you know?
Well, he's definitely breakable.
Pick up a comic.
I never watched that if you have the first time. That's good. Good.
You what?
I watched at your house with you one time.
Oh, okay.
Back when we used to hang out.
Yeah. We saw that movie and you know the Beauty and the Beast story. We'll talk about that. Wednesday Comics, my name is Marvin, here for the week of October 24th, 2023. Alex, that's 10/24/23. Halloween next week. A little spooky season. Alex, what would you say growing up? And I know this is more of a question for maybe a Halloween theme episode, but let me just ask you now. When you were growing up, what's the one costume you remember wearing?
I remember being fondly remembering. Oh, I mean, I was Batman. I was Spider-Man. I was the blue M&M. I was a butcher one year. That's my
favorite.
Whoa.
Are y'all bloody?
Not scary, but I had blood on my apron. I had a big cleaver. We got chased down the street by a guy with a pitchfork. That was, I mean, fondly, maybe not, but that's the one that's most iconic in my head.
Like, chase you with the pitchfork as a joke?
I hope so. Oh. I hope.
Well, he never got that candy, so I'll never find out.
Mm. Why blue M&M? How old are you?
I had to be six. I was on the news.
Oh, okay, six.
You were on the news?
Yeah.
Because you were the tallest blue M&M that there ever was, or what?
Probably. Because I remember I had big rubber gloves, like big plastic rubber gloves almost. So you couldn't even make a fist or anything. You just had these big hands.
I bet Alex actually was the first person to wear the blue suit, and he was on the news because they decided the M&M Corporation Mars decided that's when they would start including blue. So, you know, he's a trailblazer over there, Mr. AP.
You know it. Of course I am.
This man, you know, he just painted himself all blue, went naked out there with big M on his chest, and next thing you know, he's over there inspiring ideas. So,
I like how at 6 years old, this bad boy knew what he was doing. Get naked, put it on yourself.
You know, and Alex has always been an old man, so six for him, that's what, times seven? That's 42 years old. So,
damn. How old? 43?
42.
42, okay.
God, you guys are old.
Just want to make sure we're doing math about
it. Eric.
Six times seven, 43.
Speaking of getting old, last week on Friday, Spider-Man 2 came out.
Woo!
And all of us have started playing it. We're not going to talk any kind of spoilers or any kind of story. Just mainly about the game. Oh, Jesus. My phone was fell down. And the and mechanics, things like that. But I was saying, getting old, Alex, that my oldest is old enough now that he has his own save file. And he's farther than me right now.
Whoa.
And I have been really... I help him like once in a while. Like he'll be like, hey, I can't get past this one spot. But beyond that, I came down and he was at a certain scene. And I was like, oh, how the shit... How far you get so far? And every time I look, it's like... The progress is up way more than last time. So when you were asking like if we're gonna get a chance to play it, I was like, I'll get a chance to play, but I don't know. I gotta when this kid goes to sleep, because I've been letting him play after he does his homework. And it just and this is kind of something I wanted to talk to you guys about, because I do have another comment about another superhero game that I played recently. But with this game, And even like my youngest can like do the fights with no problem. And like understand how it works. I think this game is one of the most perfect examples of if the controls are good, you just don't even notice them. Like, I feel like it's so intuitive that there's not really a time when I'm thinking about how to play, if that makes sense.
Right. I'd agree with that. I mean, I thought it was going to be way more complicated because, you know, obviously the first game, combat's similar. But, no, I think they took it in a way that makes it easier for new people coming on. And for all of us that have played before, it's like riding a bike.
I would disagree with the two separate kinds of abilities you have. You have gadgets, and then you have the abilities of each character. I'm struggling to remember which hand is which.
Alex, come on, no.
But I think part is that I just got done playing Miles last Wednesday. So my brain thinks that R is how to use gadget and how to use Venom, and same when they're Peter. I'm so used to gadgets just being right-handed and switching out what I want instead of having be hotkeys where I can do R up, down, left, or right, or whatever, triangle, circle, square, and X. So I'm thrown off by being smarter than me.
But it's still R, though.
Like, more user-friendly.
The items are still R.
Yeah.
No, I know, and I get that. I'm just saying that instead of having to rotate the HUD, I just need to go R triangle and do a power, do a move.
I was going to say, maybe that might be a sign of getting older, Alex, because my son has no issues remembering those things. So, I mean, this dude's 7 years old. You think he, and you can't remember left, right?
Hey, I can remember left, right. I can't remember which thing is which.
I was going to say, hey. I like that way more because in the first game, I hated how you had to hold it and then move the stick. Because sometimes you would pick the wrong thing, or it would slip off the R button. And I think this is simpler and also doesn't ruin your sticks as much. Because it used to be that when you wanted to do like your special, you had to push both sticks in. And now it's just, you know, you push the button on the L1 or whatever you want to push. So
that's true.
How many hours did you guys say you're in? Just so I have an idea. I'm like 3 hours.
I don't even know.
I'm like 20.
What was that?
I probably put in about 20 hours.
Oh, wow. You're really far.
What about percentage-wise, Alex? What's 20 hours?
I was at 30%, but it's not even like I'm doing story. I'm literally doing
everything.
Extra stuff.
I'm at 7%.
Oh, so see, I'm at about 11.
Okay.
I'm at 11, so that's what I'm saying. I'm not even getting that much game time in this. That's why we're just going to talk about mechanics instead. By the way... Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, knowing where everyone's at, I think the only disappointment to me so far is that I do not feel as powerful when I Venom punches Miles. Like, it seems like a lot weaker, and I'm kind of disappointed.
I think it is.
The thrill of just freaking gunning that Venom
punch. I'm assuming now, because you can swap out powers, that later you'll get powers that are more powerful than that, and you'll just replace them. But I do agree they kind of toned it down. It's more like an item now than it was before. It felt like that was your special, and
yeah,
now it's just mainly just like an item. It just helps you maybe kill one or two guys, but that's it. Not even kill them, but like knock them back.
Damn, what are you doing to these guys?
Jeez. Incapacitate into nothing.
I didn't say with not spoiling anything. You can strengthen things as you go.
Yeah.
There's another side mission you can do that at the end of it, you get these. Have you found tech parts, Garrett?
Yeah, I found one. Okay. Yeah, I just got that.
The tech parts and stuff you can eventually put towards boosting your strength. So it's more RPG-ish, even. I mean, I've really enjoyed the game. It is the same and yet different from the other two. I have found that I still prefer being Peter. But I've also spent most of my time just changing my outfit.
There's like 70 to choose from.
I wish there was a way.
And there's different colored twos you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I wish there was a way, and this is just me and my brain, that makes it so like it's hard for me to change the suit. Because when it goes to a cinematic and you're wearing a different suit, it bothers me. Like, I was like, no, I want to wear the suit they're supposed to be wearing in this game. And I wish there was a way to just toggle and be like, okay, I wear this suit in-game, but in cinematics, it'll just be the regular suit.
Oh, so yeah. I love the fact that it changed, that it keeps the suit that I'm wearing, because that shows the dedication to, I get to be my own Spider-Man. I don't have to be Insomniac Spider-Man. I can be a Superior Spider-Man in the bright white green outfit that I'm choosing right now.
So usually my first playthrough, I go, I do like Marvin. I'm like, I like the original suit that they like would have. Don't tell me. But if that Sam Raimi Spider-Man suit isn't unlockable, I'm totally changing it. I don't give a shit.
I haven't found it yet, so I don't know if it is or not.
Another thing about this, and when we speak about what you said, Alex, about how it shows like you can be a different character and it replaces them in the cutscenes, because like how fast the processing power is on the PS5, like when you switch between Miles and Spidey, or from cinematic to gameplay, like there's no load times. And so like those things are like, there's the Sandman fight at the beginning, which I guess we weren't gonna talk about spoilers, but I just say he punches at one point and it's a cinematic, and by the time you roll over, you're back in the gameplay and there's like no load time. And it's just like, I think this game is one of the games where I finally was like, not finally, well, I guess so. Like, I had them has multiple components where I'm just like, this is a PS5 game. Like, this is next gen. This is trying to use all the abilities of the PS5. The only thing I will say is, the noises coming out of the controller. We were talking about this right before we started, and I switched mine to only play necessary sounds coming out of it, and it's better. I was going to shut it off completely, but I was like, you know what? I usually shut them off in every game, but I'll just leave this one on. And it's usually just the radio and the phone, which are the two most annoying sounds that come out of it, but it's not everything.
So, yeah, the controller sound doesn't bother me that much. I don't notice it most of the time. It's the web sling that I think bothers me the most.
Really?
Yeah, I was going to say, Alex, are you running into a lot of things?
What do you mean?
When you web swing?
I meant the sound of the web slinging from the controller.
Yeah, okay.
This one thing that I feel like I've noticed the most is that when I first started, I'm going to call them glitches, or I'm going to call them unpolished parts. I've either ran into a building when I actually, it's not, I figured the spoilers was between the three of us. We've all done the Sandman fight. When I tried to jump through the ceiling, then I got stuck in the ceiling. And I couldn't get back down.
There's a lot more of those, in this game than there was in the first two games.
So I feel like I've had to do a couple restart.
But once again, Alex, I got to go back and tell you, like, my kid got stuck in a bush and couldn't get out of it. That was one of the times he needed help. And then it did happen with the old games, because in one of the old games he did get locked in a building, just like you just said, he fell through the ceiling, and then like there's no way out because it's not supposed to be open. But I haven't had that experience myself, but I think it's if you are swinging a lot and you go really low, maybe that's the issue, because I'm always trying to go as high as I can on that thing.
I spend more time gliding. Like, this is, I mean, one of my favorite things they added was that glide. If you go all the way down the coast side, you can glide from one end of the city to the next.
That is kind of, it is kind of funny. At first I was like, I don't know how I feel about this, but I became more fond of it. But only for those like big open areas. I mean, I can't help the swinging, and I love doing the tricks. And so what's crazy is, like, you know how there's like the teams, there's like, for all those that haven't gotten that far, there's a skill tree for Miles, skill tree for Peter, and skill tree for both of them.
Yeah.
I'm pretty much all the way done with the middle of for the two Spider-Men. So like, I already have all the tricks and the flips and everything unlocked. So like when I do the tricks, it like loads up my focus meter. And I just like, I don't know, web swinging is pretty great, but I still feel like I'm slow. Like, I feel like I'm slower than Miles Morales or the Spider-Man one right now.
There's a side mission that you get to the ability to unlock traversal as faster. You become stronger, you become faster, your gliding becomes better.
Gotcha.
It's just you have to unlock that stuff and do the first little bit to get to it.
Got it.
Then you can put your tech bits or whatever you want towards that. Again, I put most of mine into unlocking all the suits that I can so far.
Like, I want to get across New York in one swing, so make that happen.
You know what it tells me? If you already got a bunch of skill tree things done, Garrett, you're not getting the suits.
No, I got.
Because I cost skill points, not tech bets.
Oh, not skill points. I mean the suit upgrades. How many of those you got?
Suit upgrades. What do you mean suit upgrades?
That's the stuff that Alex was talking about, like the transversal and all that stuff.
I don't think I've even gotten to that side mission yet.
He hasn't done the side mission yet.
Oh, really? That's like right away.
Not see, like, so when I did the first little bit, like I spent the first night literally just finishing up the Sandman crystal shards.
Yeah, I swear it's right away. I just helped my littlest wanted to play a little bit, and he could not get past the Sandman, which is understandable. He's not even old enough. He shouldn't even be touching that controller. But I helped him get past that, and then like the next, like one of the next missions is you get that thing right away.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about, so no idea.
I say, without spoiling it, I don't want to tell you who you talked to get that stuff set up.
I got that mission next, then. If I'm going to talk to... I don't want to say it.
You can spoil it for me, because I've already done it.
You're going to go... Let me just say, you're going to go see Ankh?
Yes, right.
Okay, exactly. Then that's it.
That's literally what I'm doing next.
All right, so it's about 7%. I thought it was way sooner than that, but maybe not. But yeah, that's when you'll see, like, as Alex is saying, there's some RPG elements to it. And, Jesus, what's that?
Someone's cutting out.
It was my thing. My mic jack was all fucked up. Man, I got some hardware issues, guys.
You know what? Yeah, Garrett,
you need to invest in some new shit.
Take that iPad and throw it out the fucking window right now.
Well, new iPad or Spider-Man Collector's Edition, new iPad with the shitter, so. that statue, though, by the way, is so bitchin'.
It looks good. This isn't a spoiler, but I did see my first reference to that big baddie.
Nice.
Oh.
So.
All right. Okay. That's good to know, because my son won't stop asking me, "Hey, when's Venom come on?" It's like
I haven't seen the big baddie, but I've seen my first suggestion to him. So.
Got it.
What do you think? Is this? Oh, I don't know. No, I think you would have seen this already. That opening scene with Kraven. I know we're not doing spoilers, but it's like right away.
Yeah, no, I saw that. It was good. I mean, I've already, again, don't want to spoil any. It's tough territory.
I just want to say one thing about this Kraven guy.
Yeah.
This guy's fucking jacked, all right?
Yeah.
He's going to fucking, I don't even, like, there's a debate whether or not his strength is, you know, because of how much he's made himself the peak of humanity, or if whether or not that's supernatural or not. My man is yoked in this game.
I think the thing with like villains, without spoiling anything, that Kraven one is, I can't wait for them to either make a Marvel Legend of that toy, or if they make a bust of him.
Right. I was going to say it's a good Kraven, and they could have made him younger, and they could have made him, or they could have made him more like the Ultimate one. So I am very much glad they went with this older kind of hero, and like they kind of mentioned that right away, just so you get that out of the way, that he's old, but he's also old, and he's been, instead of it being a detriment to what he's trying to do, it's in a way aiding him, because now he has all this experience and he's trying to figure out who can stand up, Betty, who's gonna be able to go one-on-one with the old Kraven.
Yeah,
listen, my money would have been on Bombshell, but we know what happened to her. She's in jail now, so.
Right. That's what I'm so interested in, is if like there will be a DLC after this. But
we'll, that's what I was. Go ahead, Alex.
I think there almost have to be. I mean, I'm not far enough to know what comes after this. I mean, I've met a couple different faces in this game, and I'm excited to see either what happens at the end of this. Is there a DLC? But I'm already getting pumped up for what game 3 could be, if there is a game 3.
Oh, there's going to be. This game went gold with, like, it's going to definitely get a third game.
Someone, maybe it's just Facebook, I saw that with how well this game has sold the first week, they're still giving more accolades to Arkham Knight and Arkham City for being better superhero games. This is probably one of the best superhero games I have played. I feel like Spider-Man.
Right.
And both Spider-Man have a different fighting style, and yet maybe it's having come from playing both games in the past 2 months that I am fluent in both how they fight, but the the gadgets you get are neat. They're different. They're not the same ones from prior.
I don't even think it's that, Alex. I think because I haven't played either of those games for a little bit here, like at least 4 months ago, and I feel like, yeah, I could just pick it up. That's what I was saying. Like, the controls feel so natural. They don't feel like they're very awkward or in a place where sometimes you get a game and here, actually, good thing you brought up Arkham, because I was going to say I had another experience this last week because a certain game called Gotham Knights came out on PS Plus, and so I tried it, and Garrett, I don't know how the fuck you play this game. I was getting frustrated by these controls before I was even done with the first thing. Like, it just feels chunky. It just feels like you're fighting the controls to try to do something. Sometimes it's very unresponsive, and it's just like, when you play that, especially compared to Spider-Man, it's like Spider-Man basically feels like it's reading your mind, and that's what you're doing. Like, it's so intuitive.
I don't know if I agree. I mean, I feel like a lot of the combat is very similar to Spider-Man, like with the dodging, his circle, and
yeah, well, but you don't need to change it if it, you don't change what's broke.
Well, what do you mean? It was, this is like its own thing.
You're saying Gotham Knights fights like Spider-Man?
Oh yeah. No! There's no way it does.
Who are you playing as?
Nightwing. This motherfucker should be like Spider-Man, Peter Parker.
Yeah, he doesn't have like special. That's the thing, is like they don't have like these specials. The combat's
and he lame, in the game, he's not even Alex. He's not even like trim. Bobo's he's buff. He's too big.
He's when I've seen him, he looks. They all look pretty buff.
Yeah, well, it's you gotta unlock their skill trees and stuff. Like, I thought that game was fun for what it was, but
I think the thing is that so when I played Arkham Asylum for the first time, and not to get off tangent, but Arkham Asylum had that inviting. I don't know, like that had the initial feel, much like what Spider-Man did the first time I played it. Then you get to Arkham City, and I remember being afraid to play Arkham City, just going, man, there's a lot of bad guys in this place. That game is top-tier Batman game. But then you get to Arkham Knight, and Arkham Knight, I don't know what threw me off. I mean, I'm not a big fan of the Batmobile itself, but being in Gotham itself just didn't feel right. And maybe part of it is that in Arkham Asylum and City, it made sense there was no pedestrians. But I get they sent everyone out so that they were out of the way. But that was the problem. The world didn't feel lived in. This game is lived in. I mean, both 1, 2, and 3 have all felt lived in.
Right. And have you ever sat and listened to some of the NPCs? Like, they have long conversations. And that's what another thing, Alex, I didn't play that much of Gotham Knights. But even the part I played, like, there was nobody on the streets. And I understand that it's like the middle of the fucking night, but also it's just like in a city, you know, it doesn't sleep. And Spider-Man is busy all the time. But
that's New York, not crime-ridden Gotham.
I guess.
There's a crap load of crime. I've been beat the shit out of everybody. I'm pretty sure I fought the same guy 10 times. I suppose he hasn't gone, oh man, Spider-Man's back again to kick my ass. I've only died one time, and I think I got screwed over. It was like one moment where the controller didn't read what I wanted, and I just took a beating to the face as Miles.
You know what I wish? I kind of wish that, like, in the scenes where, and again, I know it's early, that you're with Miles and Peter, that there was a way to, like, while you're fighting, switch. You know? Because kind of like when you did Batman and Catwoman in Arkham Knight, like, that would be pretty sick.
Have you had to be where you are Peter or Miles, and the other one is already there fighting?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I've enjoyed, is that you can run into them in the city, right, at least fighting bad guys wise.
Or right, they might actually join you like a couple hits in, and all of a sudden you see them show up and you're like, oh shit, here they are.
Yeah.
I was also going to say that it feels like, and obviously this is going to be something that comes along with making that first game and it being so successful, and then Miles, and obviously there's more of a willingness to push the envelope. But I feel like so far, and once again, without spoiling it, it does feel like this game, in a way, doesn't mind how dark it's going to get and how, like, how the story can sometimes really just be about, like, people hanging out. In the first game, it felt like there were scenes in which you would play a different character, and those gameplay breaks also unnecessary to me. It's like, we're not doing anything right now that's really interesting. And instead of doubling down on making it more game-like, instead they went the opposite. And I feel like there's a couple scenes in here, and it's way too far to give any kind of details on that, but it where it's like there's small gameplay things, but really it's just about hanging out with certain people and like more the drama of it than the action. And so like Alex, yeah. that part that happens in that game, there are small gameplay things that you can do, but for the most part, you're just kind of like watching cinematic and then you do something and then just cinematic again.
That's what I've noticed too. I was saying it feels more cinematic, but like the story is so good. And like, I think it's kind of fun. I mean, it does make you crave to like get back to the action. So,
Marvin, I imagine you have seen him. Garrett, have you seen your best friend yet?
My best friend. Yes. Okay.
Did you do that first? I mean, you had to if you've seen him.
Yes.
Okay. So instead of doing the stealthy missions like you had in the first game, I've really enjoyed the other aspect that you actually get to be Peter and do these things, which I think is cool.
I feel like Miles had a lot of that, so I'm glad they brought that over. Because I just remember there was a lot of you hanging out with your friend in the past, and then it would cut forward. And there's a little bit of that in this game too, which I think is good because it's a nice kind of reminder, as you were stating, Alex, earlier, that like, no, Spider-Man's been around for a while. Like, this isn't a Spider-Man that like just happened. And also like there's history here. So it feels like this is a whole world in which we can explore versus being like, this is only the story. And if you get outside of the zone, also it's not going to feel as good as, cause there's some games where like, if you go outside of the place they meant you to be, then it gets kind of broken down and they really don't care about that part. But this game, as you were saying, Alex, like the whole city, no matter where you go, there's something going on.
So it's either people just walking down the street or, I mean, I was just at Coney Island. Like, I was like, oh, that's cool. The one thing I did enjoy, and it's not a, we talked about it last week. I have not seen him in this game, but to know that Insomniac has other characters that are not Spider-Man.
Right.
So
and also,
I'm just saying there are other characters that I know who belong to this world, and that is super exciting.
And like, there are small, especially with, a set of missions you get, and I think Garrett, you would have had these already, the photo ops, where it's just like that. Yeah. That's part of it too, just like seeing the NPCs just kind of doing something together, and it feels like if you watch them for a while, like it's not really something that just happens and then they like go back to where they were going. Like, it does last a while, and those are just little things that like when you have a game like this, which is big budget, like instead of wasting that on more kind of action scenes or added things that would, you know, make it feel like redundant, those smaller moments, I feel like break it up nicely. And it does add a lot to you actually caring about these characters. So, cause I remember walking into that first game, kind of hesitant about liking that Peter. And I really don't like Peter Parker that much anyways. I say that all the time, but I mean, like, it's very hard for him, for people to write him and not for him to be annoying, right? Mm-hmm. And I think this game does a good job about writing him, but he's not annoying.
What was that one book we read where Peter Parker was the most fucking annoying character?
Secret Invasion, or is that?
Yeah,
it was Secret Invasion, 100%.
No, I'm sorry, I was thinking that one where they go to Kazar.
Invasion. I think that's what we read. With the Skrulls?
Nope. Well, I mean, the Skrulls, I was thinking the first part of that Avengers book.
No, it was Secret Avengers that we...
It had to be Secret Invasion. He was making jokes the whole time about, like,
yeah,
who's the real clones.
Right, they both were quippy. Yeah.
I was thinking the other one where he got his arm broken, and that one felt bad. And then the next four issues, he won't shut the hell up. Mm. I mean, it's all by Brian Michael Bendis, so it's the same thing. Mm.
My son wanted to, we were on Disney Plus and he was going to watch a Spider-Man cartoon, and I saw Spectacular Spider-Man. I was like, oh, click on that one. And they said, oh, what about this one? It was Ultimate Spider-Man. And in that show, he's fucking annoying. Ultimate Spider-Man. Like, that's, for me at least, that is like the Peter I don't want to see. So like, I do, like in the first game, I was kind of hesitant to liking him as a character. And by the end, I feel like he kind of earned for me being Peter Parker. Like, he wasn't too annoying. And didn't, like, the jokes made sense. He only kind of did them in battle because that's like kind of what he does, and not really like all the time like some people would write him. And then in this game, I wanted to say that like so far, I feel like the writing is really strong and in a place where I'm like, this might be one of my favorite Peter Parkers. And it might be my favorite. I don't like how he looks, but also, but I feel like the character is down.
Mm-hmm. For the record, Spectacular Spider-Man, probably the best Spider-Man cartoon out there.
I know, so I was trying to get him to watch it, and then he said he watches Ultimate Spider-Man.
The only problem I have with it is that there's that one Electro episode where, to be fair, Peter did attack him first. So he did start the fight. He was the bad guy.
There you go. Was Ultimate the one with... that was like Drake Bell as the Spider-Man, right?
Yeah. No, that was Spectacular Spider-Man.
Oh, okay.
No, that's Josh Keaton.
Oh, Josh Keaton, that's right. Drake Bell was Ultimate Spider-Man, yeah.
Okay, so Josh Keaton is the Spider-Man in Spectacular?
Right.
Yes.
Nice. Oh, he's great. He's Shiro in Voltron.
Oh, yeah, and he was in the movie, too. The newest one. Nice. Across the Spider-Verse. Yeah,
yep.
Which is why I was like, if these motherfuckers are putting him in this and not those other Spider-Man, I was like, this is a good one to watch. And I remember watching at least the first season. I think there's like two seasons, right?
Yeah. It's only 26 episodes as a series.
Maybe I watched both seasons. I don't remember. I just remember it was cut off unexpectedly because Mr. Jeff Loeb wanted to rehash all the TV stuff. And so Ultimate Spider-Man came out of that and I fucked it up. I mean, that might be also the reason why I don't like it, but who knows? There we go. There's Spider-Man talk. I should have called your fucking... Your brother doesn't even play it, though.
Yeah.
You know why, though?
He is playing the first one, though. Just like that TikTok you sent him.
Oh, is that why he's stung?
We'll probably talk about Spider-Man next week, too, if you guys get a little bit more into it.
Yeah.
We can bring your brother in then, and we can talk about the first game with him. A little bit. Who cares? Now we're on number two.
There we go. Spider-Man talk, and we'll see... Oh, here he is. I just invited him.
Hello, this is Hashtag Guest Host 1.
Corey, first off, by the way, this is Entertainment King from the entertainment capital of the world, nearby Milwaukee. Corey, before we start in, I'm going to ask you a question here about the Spider-Man. Last week I called you and you hung up on me. What the fuck's this up?
Huh? I didn't hang up on you.
That's not what the thing told me.
It lied. You called it 10:30, man. You're lucky you got me here, right? I'm turning into an old man. If you call it 10:30, dude, lights are out.
Speaking about being an old man, I know that so you don't keep up with the times and get the new systems, and so you're out there playing the original Spider-Man on PS4, I heard.
I am, and I tell you what, if I had $700 to drop right now on a new PS5 and a new Spider-Man game, I would definitely...
Whoa, get the bundle. It's $600. Comes with the game.
Just saved
you $100. There we go. I just saved money. There we go. There you go. So now $600 in my dreams instead of $700 in my dreams.
Do you think instead of giving Nicole Kidman all that money and buying her buckets and stuff, you might have be able to afford it?
I have not bought. I've bought one bucket. And I bought the Across the Spider-Verse bucket. That is the only popcorn bucket I've ever bought.
Oh, wait, you buy it for Garrett, usually.
Yeah, he makes me go, he would always make me go travel like 45 minutes to go pick him up a popcorn bucket.
All right, never once did that. He never once did that.
Yeah, I did.
Which one?
The Thor one.
No, I had to order that online because you wouldn't.
But I still had to grit when I told you I couldn't find it.
Oh, because sorry, you went 5 minutes to a movie theater one time and go fuck yourself.
Didn't think about calling ahead and asking if they had it.
Yeah, jeez, dumbass,
Corey. I think this is
remember
this might be on you, but
it might be.
A question about this: which we're playing Spider-Man 2. We won't give you any kind of spoilers or anything because we know that you're behind the times here.
Yeah.
But with this game coming out and just seeing how it did, we were thinking obviously a Spider-Man 3 should be in the works. And so are you going to be able to play that when it comes out?
Well, by that time, you know, a certain other person will get a PS6 and I'll be handed down the PS5. So yeah, I should be, I mean, as long as it's good to go on the PS5, I don't know.
So I'm guessing Spider-Man 3 won't come out for the PlayStation 6, so you still won't be able to play it.
Yeah.
But then we just wait till the PS7 comes out and we're good to go.
We'll always be 12 years behind playing that game.
I know. And but if those PS5s drop in a lot of money for this Christmas season, we'll see here maybe.
And Corey, would you be able to, like, if I am a Somniac's head writer and I say, Corey, I heard one time you guys made this trilogy. Are we able to make it into one game? Is that possible? And would it be redundant in this universe?
Just to make it like one game? Well, I guess if it's like 30 hours of gameplay, not even, then yeah, I could see you doing that. Because what? Wasn't some of the Assassin's Creed's like 100 hours plus?
114 hours.
Wait, exactly. So it's like if they're, I don't remember how much the gameplay of Spider-Man 1 was, how many hours that was.
It's like 20-25, I think.
Yeah, so I bet you could do all three into one.
I put 37 hours in last time I played, but I also 100%ed shit.
Remind me again, yeah. And we're not going to get into specific details here, but remind me again when you guys came up with that trilogy idea, who's the main villain in it?
It's a three-movie thing. So it started off with, isn't it Kraven, and then Mysterio, and then Chameleon, or Chameleon and Kraven are pushed around?
Like the one you and I talked about?
You us and I, three outside the rainbow.
All three of us talked about a rainbow. Because I remember Mysterio being in between them, and then it was almost like the I was pretty sure it was Chameleon first, then Mysterio, and then Kraven was kind of doing like Simon from With a Vengeance, come to take out Spider-Man
for what Chameleon. Chameleon was which one's brother?
Kraven.
He's Sergei's brother.
Okay, so Sergei, yeah, that's right.
So that would be like your good twist. It'd be like your Die Hard trilogy, basically. Okay, you got Chameleon as your Hans, then you got, you know, Mysterio from two. You don't really know. Then three, you got Hans' brother. There we go. It all right.
And you call yourself a film lover? Can't even tell me what the first three Die Hards are about.
Well, I don't remember the name of the bad guy in the second one.
What about the third one?
Let's see. What was his name again? Simon.
Lars.
Simon. Right, no, because Simon says. Yeah.
Simon Gruber.
Simon Gruber. There we go.
General Dick Face. That's not his real name, but that's kind of what he is. Naked ass. That's what he's doing.
The bad guy in the second one was Ving Rhames.
Oh, yeah. That's right. It's the big
name. It was the blanks.
He still has the best explosion. I mean, that explosion is still good, especially when I'm guessing Bruce may not have known it was going to blow up in his face because he goes, "Whoa!" He's surprised.
Which one's that? The plane or the?
The plane.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
The guy is still number one. That scream that dude puts out.
I don't know, man. I'm shooting himself to get the guy.
That's pretty cool.
Oh,
too.
You're right. Dude.
Yeah,
that you can't bring up that first movie. Don't compare it to the other ones. That first movie is like amazing. Like
untouched.
Yeah, like the third one, I feel like is 3/4 a good movie, and then it kind of falls apart at the end once it stops becoming about Simon Says, and they, you know, then they just go after the guy. But that first movie, it's art. That shit's perfect.
Yeah. Right.
You know, throw a bomb down the elevator shaft, have that blow up. You know, you have your buddy on the radio over there making Twinkie jokes.
I love all four of the Die Hard movies. I'm glad they only made four.
You know what? I haven't watched that fake fifth one since he's done in theaters.
Still the best line of all time. You see the Boba Fett bust there, and it's like, oh, you a fan of the Fett? Nah, I'm kind of more of a Star Wars guy.
I was also going to say, and this is nothing, I'm not throwing any kind of shade or anything towards Bruce Willis, but obviously right now he's having some health issues. And so like right now would be a perfect excuse for Fox Studios to be like, we're going to remake a Die Hard. So I'm surprised we haven't heard that news. Because before they wouldn't do it because it's like you can't have Die Hard without Bruce Willis, but now they're gonna be like he can't be in it, so we got to pick somebody else.
I feel like there'd be a lot of revolt.
In the future, you shouldn't remake it.
I think they already did their loose remake, and it was the one that had Channing Tatum in it with Jamie Foxx.
Oh, they've had a million kind of fake remakes like that though. I mean, like an official, like because Air Force One is basically Die Hard in a plane, And then you have that movie as you're speaking about White House Down. And basically any movie past that, there's like a million movies where you had Jean-Claude Van Damme, and then there's one with Sylvester Stallone that gets stuck in a tunnel, Daylight. So like that obviously was copied a million times at first, but I'm talking about let's remake this motherfucker from the ground up. I'm not saying it's going to be good. I'm just saying I'm surprised they haven't been like, you know what? Let's ring out this IP and get some money out of this thing. Because they do with everything else.
You know what I would do? I'd get Michael B. Jordan to be my John McClane.
Oh, there you go.
The dude's already ripped. I believe he could beat the shit out of most of the people he'd fight.
What about
put him in for six movies, so you're making all of them, and then you get to the final one, still want to be old habit to die hard.
Oh, damn, good title.
When he's in prison. I don't know why he's in prison. Yeah, I haven't heard of him.
Throwing two cigars out of his mouth.
He's in prison the same reason why Daredevil went to prison.
Because he could.
Right? Because, you know, he's not above the law. Even though you would say in the first four movies, I guess, he does think he's above the law. But, you know, maybe in that movie he has a change of heart. Turns himself in.
I killed a lot of people who started the fight.
Corey, I do want to bring this up here as our final topic of discussion tonight. Last week, when I was trying to call you and you hung up with me, we were trying to call you to ask about the Marvels and what our temperature was on that movie and whether or not we think it's going to be good. So before actually I get into a new revelation I found, what's your kind of temp on this movie?
I've heard it has a short runtime, which makes me happier, because which means it better be like lean and tight. You know what I mean? Just get in there, do your thing, get out. And so I don't know, like based on everything I've seen, the trailers have looked fun, and that it's like, I think it's like an hour and a half, I think is what the runtime or something near that. I'm like, boom. Okay. Perfect.
That would be a fucking miracle if it's 90 minutes long.
Right. But I don't know, everything I've seen, I haven't seen anything negative. There's nothing made me go, ugh.
We talked about that first trailer. I really didn't enjoy that first trailer. It felt like it was too comedic, and it kind of was like not the tone I was looking for in that kind of movie. But I watched the most recent trailer, like a part of it, because it was an ad that popped up, and I thought that looked way better. So I was like, oh, maybe it will be at least somewhat entertaining. I had a lot of the space stuff that I wanted to see.
Right.
I haven't really read anything about the movie, so I don't even know who's supposed to be the bad guy in the movie, or even if it is just one. But as you stated, like I'm more optimistic about it now than I was last week. Last week I just watched that one trailer and I wasn't trying to watch any more. And then, you know, the ad gods came for me and I couldn't change it. And I was like, oh, actually, it doesn't look that bad.
Yeah. No, I have nothing like, you know, I'm like, ooh. You know, I don't know. But, you know, with Loki doing so well right now, in my opinion, I'm just like, I'm excited. So,
yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, everyone's worried that this is going to be another Marvel comedy, which I just feel like Miss Marvel is going to be like the comedic relief, and like the other two Marvels will be not so funny, which is going to be refreshing because you can't have every single character as a comedian.
But definitely they recharacterize Carol and make her more likable.
Yeah.
You know, so instead of just robotic.
And then you have Miss Monica Lambeau, which last time we saw her was WandaVision.
Yep.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's been a little bit for her. I guess Captain Marvel last time we saw her was Endgame, which would have been before that. But, I just kind of, when we talked about this last week, Corey, so I don't want to get too much into the weeds again, but I look back at those old movies and just be like, man, remember the times like when we used to be like combing and for like, hey, what's this about? And like thinking, and we would have theories and stuff. Like there's no theories I have right now for what's going on. I haven't watched any of Loki though. So I'm not sure if anything pops up in that kind of is adding to it, but at least for me, I just feel so not invested, but I want to be. And I'm just hoping this movie can at least, you know, if it's like this Spider-Man game, it makes me want to go and read everything Spider-Man and get back into Spider-Man. And I'm just hoping that one of these things, like one of these movies, makes me be like, okay, I'm back in. Like, there's no question in my mind. I got to see how this plays out. But right now, I don't even know what the goal is going forward with this thing.
Right, because, I mean, we haven't heard much on, like, you know, because obviously it's Kang or the Jonathan Majors side of things, so it's like...
We got that, and they've been trying to set up Young Avengers for how long? Is that the way they're going to go? They had this kind of, you know, Thunderbolts thing going on, and that's going to be its own movie, but is that really going to be more of a plot outside of that movie? And, like, there's so many things that they set up, and I feel like Phase 1 just set up characters where this is setting up multiple storylines. And it hasn't really invested that much into the characters like the first three phases kind of did. And so I'm hoping they get back on track now that they have, you know, the new CEO back, Mr. Babe, back in charge, and maybe we'll see that. But I want to get back to those days. Remember when we went to the fucking Avengers Infinity War? God.
Oh, man.
So good.
The hype into that. Incredible.
Do you remember when those portals fucking opened on your left? Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And now good, I'm just like, days. I'm waiting for anything. I just, you know why? Cause once again, I brought this up last week. Ant-Man 1 was on, and I watched it being like, man, that's a fun movie. And I can't believe how fucking boring Ant-Man 3 is.
Right.
And it makes me mad that I was like, in the theater, my kids both asked me, being like, how much longer is this? Because they were getting bored. And I was like, and I was like, shit, I want to leave too. So it's not even hitting anybody right now.
It's the least cohesive movie in a trilogy, like, if you think about it.
I know. It's just, like, totally way different than the first two. It's about a whole different universe. And as we talked about last week, like, there's so many jokes and then, like, a lot of exposition. And it's like, okay, where's the, you know, at one point these were action movies with comedy, you know, as you stated, you know, where they would have Ms. Marvel as, like, the comic relief. Instead, they decided we're going to have action relief. And I was like, no, where's the action? The action should be up front. Jeez.
Right?
Is that your dog?
Where it has like Star Wars, where it's like pure Star Wars, where it's like, hey, it's action-based, but you have your moments of comedy.
Right. And I just, I feel like that is that's a thing that, you know, Joss Whedon, you know, before he fucked around and found out, Joss Whedon and... maybe J.J. Abrams in kind of a way where it was like, that's the kind of way that they write, where it's like quippy, everybody's quippy. And it's almost that Spider-Man syndrome where it's like, well, he's quippy, right? And it's like, no, dude, he's quippy when he needs to be. That's not, you can't watch a movie where a guy's like that the whole time.
Right.
Because I'm never going to invest in that character because I'm just going to be like, dude, nobody wants, like, I would never hang out with somebody who is that way 24/7. There's going to be moments of reality in between there where we're just talking. And I feel like the movies have been, they'd be like, okay, how many jokes can we get in here?
Right. Right.
Anyway. Oh, I think they learned that lesson hard with Love and Thunder. Hard.
I think they expected it to be like almost meta in a way that the people would laugh at them laughing at Thor. But it's also like, no, I came to see this Thor movie. Like, I like this character. I don't want to laugh at how dumb he is and how he is possibly fucking a hammer behind the bench, you know?
Right.
I want to see a movie where he's a fucking badass like he is, and he's fighting the God Butcher, which should be as terrifying, if not more, than Thanos. But instead, we had kids with lightning powers.
And a floating head or two.
God, that floating
head. An annoying goat that needed to be put down hard.
Yeah, they were annoying.
Corey, anything else you want to talk about?
I'm trying to think if there's anything on the news. You know, hey, all those people that can enjoy Spider-Man 2, have a blast. I hear it's great.
We plan to.
Yeah. So just know I wish I was there. I wish.
In a way, Corey, maybe.
You know what? You can catch up on the comic book then. You got time.
Right.
Yeah, I think what was the last one that came out? Like 34 or 35? I keep buying them. I just haven't been reading them.
Are you still in the Beyond stages?
I am like, I think I was like number 7 or 8 where I last was.
Wow.
So I've got like 20 issues to read.
That's not too bad. On the single side of it, that's good.
Right.
So. You never read them.
And because of that, Corey, please sign yourself out.
Okay, this is hashtag guest host one. signing out. Stay classy, San Francisco, and subscribe to Garrett's Bronze Patreon tier. Thank you. Good night.
There we go. Mr. K-Dub himself. Brought to you by rainbowcomicsandcards.com. We brought them up there how we used to. You guys made a story outside their shop, you know. That's the shit that happens there. You get a little comic bug in you, and pretty soon you're writing trilogies. So go to rainbowcomicsandcards.com for more information on their Sioux Falls and Lincoln, Nebraska locations. And also, like I stated last week, they usually do kind of like holiday sales, so always keep an eye on their social medias, Rainbow Comics and Cards on Facebook and on Twitter. See when they got some sales going, because that's Alex, that's when you get the goods, right?
Hell yeah.
These sometimes comics are expensive, but they're not as expensive when they're half off, baby. So keep an eye on that. RainbowComicsandCards.com. We have a book club, Garrett.
Wednesday Comics League of Extraordinary Gentle People proudly presents
Local Man. We're talking about issue number 2 here. Seeley, Fleece, Simpson, and Soprano on this book here. I wanted to say something about this series, just the way it's kind of going. Like, it's a very much like character-based story that also I don't see these plot kind of twists happening. And I feel like not even so much plot twists, but like there's scenes in which like he, in this issue, especially the villain, I guess you would say villain, but the bad guy he kind of fought in the first one, and then he was ended up dead at the end. Do you remember what he calls him?
Hodag.
Hodag. When he goes and visits Hodag's mom, like that scene is totally unexpected. And also for her to understand, we know, like, I know it wasn't you, and like in a way be very human. Like it's a very much anti-cliche kind of way to write that scene. And they could just do what everybody does. And he goes there, she's mad at him. He tries to explain himself, and like, he learns something about the character that helps him along with this investigation. But in this one, instead, it's almost like she's like, yeah, I know, like you guys were kids. We grew up together. Yeah, I know you're not bad. You didn't kill him, that you wouldn't hurt a fly. And that's why he kind of like picked you as his arch nemesis. But also, you know, he wasn't well because of how Mr. Priest God there, what's his name? Crucible?
Chaos?
Can't remember. Crusader, something like that.
Yeah.
Commando Crusader.
Commando Crusader.
That's what it is, yeah.
And how he like smashed his brain in, and he was never the same after that. Like, this kind of also, you get these questions that pop up, being like, yeah, you didn't really think about that. Because, Alex, you know, we talked about this multiple times. In Spider-Man, those are brain damage, what he's doing in there.
Yes. Well, I sent you guys those photos of when I've killed people in the game. So, heads are rolling.
Monster.
And I think the best thing in this book specifically was that scene when Jack goes to talk to the mom.
It's really well done. In terms of art, too, I feel like that scene is, and I know this is going to sound weird, but like when I'm reading it, it doesn't even feel like I'm reading it. It feels like I'm experiencing, like I'm watching on TV or something. Just the way that it kind of, the pace that it goes at and stuff.
Well, it just seems so fluid. And like you said, it wasn't the cliche of, oh, you killed my son, but I didn't. And she goes, I know you did. And I don't know, it felt like it really would. And it made that nice callback to, this is a small town. There's one stoplight. Everyone knows everyone.
Right.
Kind of crazy. Also, like, I thought the chief interrogation, you know, like his ex-girlfriend's new husband, was pretty intense. And I think it's like, so it's like a perfect way to describe this book when he's like puking on the poster, the mural of him as, you know, Crossjack, you know, hero of this town, you know, like he's like puking all over it. You know, that's like perfect way to describe this book.
I guess you would call it B plot about him in Gen 6 and whatever happened with him to get kicked out of that group, and the public knows something different than actually what actually happened, and how he kind of always tries to correct the record, but everybody just believes that he had sex with Mr. Crusader. Commander
Crusader.
His wife. also superhero in that group, and that's why he was kicked out. But he's like, no, you don't understand. I think that plot also, like, it's nice to, and it's always nice in any kind of these books to have these kind of layered plot points in which they all kind of connect in a way, being like, why, that's why he's in town, and that's why they, that all the stuff's happening in town, but also like they're still involved and you're trying to figure it out. So I like that kind of mystery that kind of like tugs along, in which it's not taken away from the main story, but it's so interesting enough and they sprinkle it in just enough that I do want to see what happens with that one also. But also it's not, you know, overtaking the main plot point, in which some books tend to have like 15 plot points. You're like, I don't even know what's going on anymore. Right. So in this one, I do like the juggle of the A, B storylines. And there's even a couple C ones in there, too. Well, like you said, like the nice detour for the mother and then also his parents and then the robot that's following him. Like everything in here feels intentional, which it obviously is, but intentional in a way that also is like making sure the story keeps moving along and doesn't stay stagnant and cliched in one certain part of the story. So I enjoy that part of it. And then I also enjoy the end. The end part, you know, with the little comic at the end is a nice way to kind of fill in those gaps, but also kind of give you an idea of why things might be the way they are because of how they were in the past. So.
Right. That is fun. I didn't know if you got that in the trailer. I was going to ask you if you got those flashback stories.
Yeah.
So cool.
This is one of those books that I struggle to only read the one issue. Like, I want to read farther, but I don't. I also know that I should just read what I need to for the show so that, one, it's fresh, and I don't have that much time to overthink it. This book is fantastic. I don't know why I hadn't started reading it until this show, but, gosh, it's good. For two issues in.
Same thing.
And how good is that cliffhanger, like, of this issue? Like, where he destroys that robot? And he's like, yeah, I think I'm going to figure out my own way. You know, like,
right.
That was so awesome.
I'm with Alex, too. Like, when I get to the end, I'm almost like, oh, I'm going to read more. But I know from past experience in his book clubs that if I read more than one issue, then I'm confused on what happened in that issue. And then I'll be like, this happened? And I'm like, oh, it doesn't happen until next issue because I read ahead.
Correct.
So I've been trying to keep back and not have, as Alex stated, the same thing. Like, just not get too far ahead. That way I can kind of keep it fresh of what happened in that issue and not have it, you know, get jumbled with the next one. But I do want to, like, if we were just going to review like one, I would have read this whole thing already. But also, and I'm going to ask Mr. Tony Felice about this. There's a scene with some news anchors, and I'm pretty sure they're local news anchors. Where's my phone at? Here it is. And I'll send you guys his pictures, after the show here. But it looks like in one picture, it is Mr. Don Jorgensen from Kello. And then the other one is an older guy who I remember watching in like the 90s and like early 2000s, Mr. Steve Hemmingson. And I'll send you some pictures. I'm pretty sure that those are those guys. And which would make sense. Tony was from this area, so he probably knows those guys. Or not knows them, but he knows of them. So I saw that. And by the way, Don Jorgensen, like I watch a lot of local news, probably more than I probably should. But when I saw him in this book, I'm like, there's no way that's not him. So I would be not surprised to hear that it was based on them. So, well, overall, though, like as we said last issue, I feel like this is, in a way, a kind of big surprise for me. Like Alex was saying, like, I don't know why we weren't reading this before we decided to make a book club. But I really kind of had a hard time figuring out what it was from the outside until Tony kind of explained it on when we interviewed him. And that's when I kind of was like, oh, that is interesting. Let's read that. And so I don't know, like if I don't know how big this book is getting, but in a way for me, like local man, like it makes sense. But also like kind of wish this book was like a, and it might get some audience along the way, but like I'm just saying this thing needs more eyes on it. All right, so get that out there. You know, rainbowcomicsandcars.com, go ahead and you pick this up. Local man trade is out, number one, and then the issue number six, which would be the one past the trade, just recently came out last week. So there's a lot.
Is gold in your trade, Marvin?
I don't know, I've never looked that far. Is that one's like all the past stuff?
No. It deals with, I think we should talk about it. Once we're done with the five issues, we should at least read Gold. And if you guys want to do six after Gold, I say we do, because that was Tony's plan. He was going to do a volume and a Gold issue, a volume, a Gold issue, a volume. So
Gold takes place after five, or at least it's supposed to be read after five.
It says this only collects local man one through five.
Okay.
I was looking for that on there. So looking forward to the next issue. We'll see how that goes with Mr. Crossjack here. And his, by the way, Alex, these powers he has, basically Bullseye, but, in a way also kind of like more Captain. Of a, what?
Well, when I read it, is it Bullseye, Hawkeye, Captain America, essentially?
Yeah. I was going to say somebody very aerobatic, like a gymnast kind of person, but I think that's mostly from Cap. But yeah. I like his power set, and I feel like in this issue, he does one move where he kind of like does the shield thing, but also wraps the person up. And I was like, perfect idea. Captain America, I know you want to hit him with that fucking shield, but once again, this brain damage. We cannot let it go. You are permanently damaging people out here. I know you say, you know, you try not to kill them, but Alex, if you got smacked in the head with that fucking vibranium, vibranium shield, I'm pretty sure, you know, the next day you're talking with your eyes. You know what I mean?
Even if you can talk, I mean, you're dead. You're pretty much dead.
Oh, you're taking a permanent siesta, if you understand. You know what I mean? Maybe not dead, but maybe the eyes don't open anymore.
Maybe dead would have been a nice thing to do.
Maybe you'll be dreaming for a while. You know what I mean? So I do like his so far, and I guess we'll see more about this later, but like how the villain's mom mentioned it, like, you want her to fly, and you can see in this too, like, they really were like, hey, let me take him out, this guy, and he's like, no, I got him, and it's like in a non-lethal kind of way, and I think that will also add on to the story later, but I like a lot about this book, and I have as you were saying, Alex, like, I should have been reading this sooner, I don't know why, like, Team Silly, I wrote one of my favorite books of all time, Revival. And then we have Tony Fleece, who we know from Stray Dogs, which I very much enjoyed. I don't know why this wouldn't be something that when I saw it, once again, because I think I saw it, Alex, Local Man, and the way he was kind of looking, and you see the solicits, and for some reason, I was just like, I don't really know what it's about. And nowadays, because I read less stuff, it really has to kind of pop for me. You know what, Alex, I used to start reading these what do you call them?
I don't know.
Previews? I got to read that shit again.
Well, it might be because, like, you know, the golden age of Image Comics, you know, when they started out, was all about those, you know, Silver Age superheroes. So it's like, is this that or is this its own thing? And so I went into it thinking, like, oh, maybe it'll be a little bit of both. And then it turned out to be that. So, but if it was full on, like, in, like, you know, the flashback type of storytelling, I would have been so out. I would have been like, nah, this isn't for me.
I think there's a part of me that, like, when I go to pick books nowadays, it really has to be, and it's hard to get into new writers, but I try to pick the writers that I know. Tom King or Tony Fleece now is on that scale of, I would get a book that you're writing because I like your writing style.
Right.
But I've gotten to that point, I want to read books of people I've heard of or people I know do good work. Now, yes, you know, Tom King wrote Rorschach, one of my least favorite books I've ever read.
And you're wrong about, but go ahead.
Wow, until Danger Street, you mean?
Honestly, I gotta keep reading Danger Street to find out what's worse, Rorschach or Danger Street.
Oh, it's totally Danger Street.
But I've also read Tom King books that I love, so I know he can handle everything he writes. It's just some things may not be for me.
Same thing for me. Like Tim Seeley, Earl Grayson, he wrote Revival, two of my favorite kind of books, and I just know why. Like I wouldn't be on my radar to pick this up, especially because of being introduced to Tony's stuff with Stray Dogs and just how much I enjoyed that. Like I wouldn't just think to pick this up. But and going back to your point about Tom King, I'm gonna let this a little insight. I think the walls for me might be cracking a little bit, and maybe I might have found something I don't like of Tom King's. Have you guys read Wonder Woman number one?
Nope. I read it, yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
I thought it was okay.
It's really wordy, right?
It is really wordy. I think he's trying. Well, you know, they try to do like the X-Men for the Wonder Woman universe. Right. Like, yeah. They just split it out. So I think he was trying to get everything back to how it was. But yeah, it's pretty wordy. But I thought the art was great, and I'm interested to see where the story goes.
There were times, Alex, when you turn the page and I'm just like, geez, you get with a wall of text. And you're like,
God. Take notes from Snyder, of course.
I was like, it's not that would not be okay in a book. It's just that for it to be on page like 3 of the first issue is like, Jesus Christ. Like, let me get into it a little bit. You know, let me have that opening scene that hooks me. There is an opening scene, but it's not really like that much to like hook you on before it starts to give you all this information. So,
well, it makes me think of Swamp Thing. Swamp Thing, not starring Swamp Thing in the Swamp Thing universe.
Oh, so that's what we talked about, verbiage and too many words. That's what Rorschach was for me. A lot of words, a lot of jibber jabber that I don't care about.
You know what is good though? Have you read Green Lantern War Journal, I think it's called?
No.
With Jon Stewart by your buddy over there, Philip Kennedy Johnson?
No, that's I didn't even know it was coming out.
That's pretty good. So that's good too.
So I've been reading the Hal Jordan Green Lantern book, and that's been incredible.
Holy shit. I'm like, and once again, we kind of changed the format of the show because we kind of all kind of like stopped reading the same kind of books. And then we also changed kind of like the way that we kind of read books. Alex gets them in big chunks and reads them. I get them digitally. And even then, I also kind of do what Alex does. Like, I wait for a couple to pile up and then I'll read them. Except for Saga. I'll read that right away.
I'm not even caught up on Saga yet. Dude, when Spider-Man came out, I've been too busy playing Spider-Man to read anything. I haven't even read Fellowship yet. So,
wow.
And Garrett over here has his own kind of books. And you actually try a lot of stuff, Garrett, still, which I commend you for still trying stuff out like that and just kind of get into that. But it's kind of hard. Maybe this might be the reason for Local Man, but it's kind of hard for me at this kind of level when you're like going back and reading old stuff to kind of keep up with what is new coming out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's always been comics' issue, is like there's no way to kind of advertise it in a way. Like, there's previews, but if you're really a hardcore fan and you know to look there, that's fine. But like, there's no real way. Like, that shit's just not out there. Like a movie, I'll see a trailer and I'll be like, I wasn't even looking for that trailer, or a TV show, anything. Like, I'll get ads about that. But comics, you actually have to go find the information, which is hard if I don't know what I want to go find. So I think we talked about that last year with Rob that we interviewed, Gilroy, and how like it's kind of more just like up to the writer and artist to like self-promote. And I do wish there was some sort of way. And that's kind of what this podcast is kind of how it came about. It was like, we're going to have this conversation anyways. Might as well introduce other people to these good books, because it is very hard to figure out what is good and what's bad. Not even what's good, what's bad, but what is out there? Like, what kind of, you know, slice of the pie can you have? You know, Alex, sometimes you open the fridge and you always see this apple pie. You don't realize it got key lime in the back.
Banana cream pie, key lime pie, hell yeah.
That's a Wednesday Comics. Oof. We tell you what's in the back, baby.
Key lime. Yeesh.
You don't like a lime?
Dude, give me that pumpkin. Pumpkin, baby.
Pumpkin's good. No one said nothing bad about pumpkin. Yeah, would you come in here hating the other pies?
Pumpkin's good.
Yeah, why don't you eat a sour pie? I want to eat a good pie.
Let me ask you guys a question. And like, if you
get a sour beer. You want a sour beer? You want a little flavor, a little spice in your life?
I want a beer.
Let me ask you a question, and if you answer the wrong way, you will be kicked out. All right? Peach cobbler. What do you think?
Good.
Yeah, I go with peach cobbler. That's fine.
Yeah, like Garrett. Good.
It is,
but the way you answered was like very quick and like you were going to get kicked out.
Well, I didn't know, but there was a chance.
Peach cobbler is delicious.
Blueberry cobbler?
Top 5 pies.
Oh, man, I really want pie right now, just not key lime.
I'll give you that. Like,
pumpkin would be good.
I don't think key lime for me is in the top 10 or even top 15. I'm just saying it's not bad.
I could eat it if it was the only option.
It's probably a top 10 for me at least.
Key lime?
Yeah.
Man. You probably like sherbet ice cream, don't you?
No, I don't. I don't like sherbet.
Oh, okay.
It's sherbet. There's no R. It's BET.
You guys were there when Sherbert was created, so I just didn't know.
Fucking WednesdayComics.com. That's the website, WednesdayComics.com. Go there for all your comic book needs. Also subscribe to the show, you know, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. You know, there's been kind of like a, Alex, as we call it, a consolidation of podcast providers. But guess what? There's still a million more that pop up. It's kind of like Hydra. You know, when one of these things goes away, like Mr. Stitcher Radio, RIP, two more pop up in its place. And you could also go to WednesdayComics.com and listen directly from the source. So don't fear. There's always a way to get you the sounds that you're looking for, and we're here for that. So I do want to say a good welcome to any new people we have post SuperCon. It definitely, you know, putting the little QR code out there did a lot for our numbers, and it's good because they need to hear us talk about this Spider-Man 2, Alex, you know. I don't want to keep referring just to Alex. Garrett is also on this podcast.
Yeah, hello. I'm also here.
You know why? Because like in this screen in front of me, Alex's name is right in my face, and so I just keep looking and saying Alex. You're kind of at the bottom of the
screen. Wednesday Comics with Marvin and Alex and that other guy, Garrett.
G-Dub.
And the third party.
But so welcome to that. And then, you know, if you have any suggestions on what you want us to read, we are also open to a book club by suggestion. This one kind of was, because I said to Tony himself, I said, I'm going to buy them. We're going to read it. Yeah. It wasn't on the show, but I said, yeah, that's going to be the next book because I want to read it. And with six coming out within the month, I think that's also like a nice opportunity for somebody to look to jump on, because that's what I did. I started this month and Alex kind of did too, even though he had them from before. It is always something you can do, which is, once again, it's very hard to figure out where to jump in. And so that's what we're here for, baby. Alex, we're like the red tab on your parachute, right? Emergencies take care of you. Let's take care of you. RootsToTheSwampThing.com. That's the website to get in touch with your green inside of you, Alex, Avatar, and Garrett. What the fuck? I don't understand what is.
Yeah, gangrene. Yeah, I got some bust in my body.
I just need to forget your name. That's what I need to do. So I keep saying it here. Alex, would you? This is on purpose. Would you drink? I'm 100% serious here. If somebody went outside and cut a bunch of grass, but then a nice, tasty key lime pie, and they put it on top of it, would you eat that?
If they put grass on the key lime pie?
Yeah.
No, I would not.
What about if I told you that by doing so, you would become Swamp Thing?
Oh, good. That's all I need is tubers for balls.
Whoa.
Could I turn back into human, or am I stuck being the Swamp Thing?
That one's going to stick. I think you're going to stick as Swampy.
Yeah. How bad do you want that pie?
I don't want pie that bad. I'm okay.
There you go. Well, I was more saying that the Swamp Thing would be a benefit for eating the grass, but you can learn more about that on RootsToTheSwampThing.com. That's where the Avatar of the Green sits. That's his kingdom over there. So go to RootsToTheSwampThing.com. The Guinness Book of World Records collectibles, memorabilia, excuse me, of Swamp Thing. That is Mr. John Boylan himself. That is of RootsToTheSwampThing.com. So go there. It's also just a nice kind of, when you see old Swamp Thing kind of toys and stuff like that, it gives me a little nice tickle. Right? It gives me a nice nostalgia tickle. So, not that I had seen the specific things before, but it gives you the kind of like generation, especially 80s kind of Swamp Thing toys and stuff. It just throws me back there, baby. Throws me back there when, as Garrett stated, when they invented Sherbert. So,
Sherbert, right.
Excuse me.
The R is silent.
The R is silent. There we go.
Or whatever. The R. Second R.
RainbowComicsAndCards.com. Go there. And like, as I said before, and keep an eye for them sales coming up during this holiday season. Nothing's better, you know, Alex, and you're kind of stalking to get a Rainbow Comics and Cards gift card. So throw some money on there. Comics are a little expensive. You're going to get a nice little, you know, $50. Alex, if you got $50 at Rainbow, you'd be happy.
I love $50 at Rainbow. I could use that all the time.
There you go. Anybody else? I'll find us on X, Twitter, whatever the fuck you call it, at Wednesday Comics, at Karat2188, and at the AP Keaton. on there. So, next week, and I guess we'll talk about this after the show. Maybe it might be a little bit different type of show because it's going to be kind of spooky next week. So, until then, I am Marvin.
I'm Alex.
I'm Garrett.
Hey, everyone. Stay warm because it's getting chilly, and keep turning those pages.